It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be. The things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of what are you working for? Now, Jeff, considering you do most of your work on Sundays, I don't want to say you're probably living for the weekend, right? In terms of, or do you like your job?
It's the most visible thing that I do all week for the vast majority of our congregation.
Sure. But I would say you're unlike most people in that you like your job.
I love my job. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I would hope so, being a pastor. Right? If you didn't like your job, you're probably in the wrong space. But
yeah.
I do think, right, many people do have jobs that they don't like, right? They literally work for, oh my goodness, is it already Friday, please?
Well, okay, so you got two things, and I think music back in the 80s, 90s caught it for us, is there's everybody's working for the weekend, and then there was the Bangles with Just Another Manic Monday.
Oh, that's true.
And so that's what you're talking about is...
Dude, those are good solid bring-ups there, you're
aren't
right.
They? I mean, it's like, I would argue to this day, this is not a new phenomenon. It's been this way for decades. Since I was a child, people were working for the next high.
Hmm.
And usually it came on Friday when you got to cut loose, be with your friends, take some substances that made you a little more carefree. And Monday, part of the reason why Monday stunk so bad was because you're caught in a job you don't want to be at and you're hungover.
So it's like for 2 days or maybe like 48 hours, we could put it in more better terms, for 48 hours of your life each week, you kind of feel alleviated from your circumstances. The pressures of everyday life are probably a little more silenced. And then come Monday, right? It's kind of back to the... Oh, yeah, I hate this.
Yeah, your Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock are structured by somebody else. And then for the rest of the weekend, you get to live unstructured. Get this, though. Here's the funniest part about this.
When we live unstructured, we end up causing destruction?
Yeah, and ourselves. Exactly right. That the irony there is when we actually have the opportunity to exercise our freedom the way that we want to,
we are
harming ourselves.
I can't argue.
Isn't that wild?
Well, I think though, maybe how much of that is played into though by the fact of people's experience Monday through Friday, they hate so much that they swing so far the other direction on the pendulum instead of like you. I feel like you're a pretty balanced dude. I don't think you get pretty reckless on the weekends by any stretch, but you love what you do, right? So throughout the week, you're not really out of balance in the other direction.
The reason this is so clear to me is I wasn't always a Christian. I haven't always been a pastor. I've been working since I was 14.
How many people are working a job that genuinely pays them good money? They went to school to get an extra degree in this career field to then come into the job, not really get to use all of the things they learned from their degree necessarily. So, you know, maybe I went to school to be an engineer. Now I'm here, but I don't really get to do much actual hands-on engineering per se, but I'm making good money. So I put up with this, you know, white collar office setting that pays me just enough money to chase the quote unquote American dream. But yet, like, I feel stagnant and stuck and that, like, man, I don't get to use any of my creativity that's boiling up inside of me.
Okay. So just use what you just said. What is the American dream? What are you chasing? What's the end game? What are you working for? What are you hoping to accomplish? If you were to back up, most of us, I don't think, do this. If just back up, and here you are, let's assume you get 75 years. Let's just be generous.
Because
that's today, it's shrinking, right? But let's say you get 75 years. By the day you exit this world, what do you want to have said, I did, I accomplished, everything was working toward this? I hope you don't say it was for Friday night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but man, how many people are thinking like that? Man, when I hit the end, I'm like, what do I want or what do I hope to have accomplished?
I don't think most people have ever asked that question.
Sure. I'll sit here and say that I'm one of them.
It will change your life in a positive way. For starters, you won't blow your weekend. You'll be investing in that end game.
You know, I think what's tough for me is I've been blessed just in general with a lot of time. So I can use my time for creativity when I'm blessed. But sometimes I'm almost blessed with too much time. And I do fall into those patterns of using it for not productive things, or being stagnant, or not accomplishing things that are of a positive benefit, right?
I'm blessed in a different way because I while I'm stretched on my time, in my profession, I'm always giving it away, mostly for counsel, right? I mean, in a way, this podcast, we're counseling everybody who's listening.
And it's counseling ourselves.
And that's true too, but it's a worthy investment. But I'm blessed because people come to me and I have, it's almost like I'm a researcher, because there's all these people who come to me with brokenness. I get the privilege to sit there and they wade me through the mire of their bad decisions and say, can you help me find a way out? And it's not one family. We're talking multiples. And I've been doing this for 30 years. So you start stacking that and you start to see the trends.
What about what we're working for beyond just laboring to make money? More in a way of like kind of what you just referred to legacy-wise. What are we trying to build with? Is it with a family? Are we trying to build something that brings community? Are we trying to build something that's all about ourselves? What does that look like?
I think that's the natural progression is once you start asking the right questions and getting the right answers, that is the natural progression is what legacy am I leaving? And hey, how about this? What happens after I die? Like, I don't mean like, what am I leaving? But what happens to
me?
Where
am I going?
Yeah. What happens to me? So it's a progression that occurs. We hate funerals. We hate death. We don't talk about it. It's a faux pas, you know, party faux pas. One of those things. Hey, we don't talk about that, you know, because why are you going to bring things down to a low energy level, man? What's your problem? We were having a good time. You had to talk about death.
Yeah, but then at the same time, actually, if you truly were a believer and in the proper state of mind in terms of how you were to believe, and you knew the person who had just passed away was a believer, you would be rejoicing on where they're going. Why would you carry this shame and this sorrow? Those are only feelings for you.
You just nailed it. We make much of this life about ourselves. And I think that's one of our major issues is we are so naturally selfish. We don't think about how our decisions, how our lifestyle impact others. We just, all we care about is me personally being happy or having a good time or...
Sure. I think there's a balance too, though, of we can also be caught up in serving others, meaning like maybe a spouse serving another spouse or like doing things for your family at no matter what it is, you never use the word no. And you're, yeah, okay, if you guys want it, we got to do it. We got to have it. And I think you can get out of balance on that too, right? You can be working for... Almost, once again, you get into a blend of working for man then versus working for maybe what God is actually calling you to do.
Well, what you just described, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this best, a person who has misplaced who they're trying to please.
Yes.
And instead of serving others to please God, they're serving others to please man, because you ultimately become a slave to men in that you're wanting their affirmation rather than God.
How about the expression, and it works both ways, but happy wife, happy life.
I don't believe in that.
No, but I'm saying that's what I think that is, right? Is where you serve your wife's happiness at any extent. And it works both ways. Women serve their man's happiness to limitless extent too. That's where I'm though explaining. That's where I think we get out of balance and like we're working for the wrong thing if that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And starting with just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's good. And I understand that there are people who think that as long as my wife is happy, then I'll be happy. That's not true.
No, it definitely is. It's not that your wife's happiness or your husband's happiness isn't important. It's just that if that's the main priority, you're in an out of balance situation.
We're already in trouble if the reason my wife is happy is because of me. So I should never be the source of
go into that, because that's a well, no, because that's a we probably struggle with that, right? Because
we do.
Of course, we want to think in the well. Of course, the reason you are just so happy in this relationship as me.
It's misplaced focus. Again, what are you working for? If somebody has the expectation that you are the reason they're happy, the moment they're not happy, it's your fault.
Mm.
Yeah, do you see how toxic that is?
I see how toxic it is when you lay it out like that, yeah. But I don't think a lot of people unwrap that idea of understanding.
Your spouse should not be the reason you live. God should be. And you get those out of sync and you're going to be in trouble real quick. And you're going to blame your spouse for things that are not their fault.
Lots of people got that out of sync.
Yeah. And it will cause fights. You won't understand why you're mad at them. But in the end, it's because you believe they're responsible for your happiness. And the reason why you're depressed or unhappy or miserable.
Because this person didn't meet my expectations.
Exactly right. And how many fights do spouses have because their spouse failed to meet an expectation of theirs?
A lot.
No. So again, what are you working for? If we could see life through God's eyes and could try and discern and understand what is life for, what would you say it is?
What is life for?
Yeah, not what we make it, living for the weekend.
I think the purpose of life is, while our souls are here, is to grow and honestly to develop understanding.
I was talking to my son and his girlfriend, and I was like, you know, it's sad that the older you get all this wisdom, and by the time you start to figure life out, you're on your way out. I got one foot in the grave. Okay. I'm 50 years old, a little over 50, but I'm 51.
Right. Theoretically, yeah. You're more than halfway there. Yeah. Right?
If we're going to say it's 75 is it. So I've got 24 more years. So it's like, how do I do a transfer to my children of all that the beneficial things that I've acquired? How can I give that to them? I kind of had this epiphany. Well, I'm worried about the transfer, and I think that's a good thing, because I do believe generations should mentor the next.
Mm-hmm.
Why did God design it this way? That the older you get, of course, the more wise you become, the more you understand about the world, about yourself, about your existence, about what the whole schlick is about. You know, mm-hmm. It's not about Friday and Monday's not manic. You acquire all this information so you can make an informed decision about what really matters.
Sure.
Not just about this life, but the one to come.
As you move about on the metaphoric game board per se, you start to realize as you get older the illusionary traps that are around you, and how many of them are you going to allow yourself to be entangled into.
You start to recognize the patterns of not only your own mistakes, but of the deceptive lies that are everywhere, tripwires mm-hmm. all over the place in our society.
Yep.
And you're able to navigate those.
And some of them are very easy to walk by because they're just not things you're into.
So right.
They don't pull you in. But then there's other places that you just, every time you walk, it's like a slot machine at a casino, man. In terms of the bells and whistles and flashing lights, you just can't look away from it.
Part of your living, even if you didn't have a believer in your life to tell you who God is and what he wants for you, is live long enough, you make things, right? That makes sense. You make things
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to make your life easier by the things you make, but you start to see a pattern. One of the patterns is this: everything that is made was made by something. And so just by that natural law that you see, you observe in your own life, you can go, okay, well, who made me? Who made this world? And what it does, and that, again, that's wisdom, is it leads you to reach for the God who made you.
Also then gives you understanding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you find then that purpose of...
Well, hopefully that's what you're saying. Okay, so what I know I'm making things for a purpose. Why did God make me for a purpose? And it's probably not for the purpose that came easily to you like on Friday.
You could ask yourself something. So did God make me to drink a 12-pack Friday and Saturday night, and then to go to work Monday through Friday, and that's it? Nothing more? God made you for so much more than that.
If you spent your entire week that way, drinking in excess to your harm, to your detriment, to wake up the next day to do it again, and you did it 7 days a week, how long are you going to live?
I mean, not long.
Not long at all, right? That's where you get disease. cirrhosis, yeah. dead brain cells. You don't become wise.
Many people do it.
Yes.
Many people do it.
Well, there are people, that's the lifestyle they choose, is they, whether it's alcohol or drugs or loose living, whatever, you pick the thing, it's destructive. And the whole thing is, God didn't make you for destruction. God built you for life and freedom, and to understand his goodness he has given to us all. Don't choose the bad stuff. Why do we do that, man?
But, well, isn't the greatest understanding, and obviously in knowing Jesus in a personal way, but to know when you're on this metaphoric game board of we're already told whose game board this is.
Right.
With that understanding, well, you should know nothing here, if you are a child of the Most High, nothing here is ultimately your highest purpose, right?
Nothing on this earth in regards to what it's offering. Yeah, correct. Absolutely. Yeah.
Nothing here being offered on this earth is, oh, you were just made to be a millionaire. Well, that doesn't make sense if you're a child of the Most High God. You were made for much more than $1 million, right?
You're leaving that $1 million.
Well, right. Yeah. $1 million means nothing when you're dead.
Somebody else is going to spend that money.
Somebody else is going to be, wow, you're the next greatest millionaire.
Right. What is the American dream? And I,
dang, dude, that's tough too, to think about how many people are, who really are financially very successful, and they probably in their head haven't, like, they've never reached that
understanding.
Man, I was made for more than $10 million, $20 million. Now I'm doing very good, don't get me wrong, you're killing it, but is that all your value is $20 million?
The happiest I've ever been was when I used to be an atheist like you, was when I came into relationship with God and I stopped chasing all the wrong things, pursuing all the wrong end games, and I realized his end game and came to the place where I was not only capable, but wanted to choose him, not the other stuff that promised happiness and never did, but the one who actually can give you, who delivers on the happiness he promises.
So this guy literally quit his job, stopped working for the man, and started working for God.
Yeah, the real man, if you will.
In both a, the Jesus man. Yeah, but man. You did it in both like a spiritual and physical way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he called me.
All right. You picked up?
Oh, dude. When God called me into ministry, it never crossed my mind to say no.
Well, you're better than me.
No, it wasn't. I'm not saying that. Okay, let me rephrase that. It was more attractive to me than the most delightful thing I can think of. Like it never occurred to me that
so
I would say no.
You never had the thoughts of like.
No, I'm not saying I didn't ever want to get out of ministry. Ministry's
no, I'm not
hard.
Saying that. I'm saying when you were going in, you never had the thoughts of like, man, why me? This is who you want to come in and do this job?
I absolutely have that question.
Okay. That's how I feel about like anything like that. If I'm like, man, I feel led to, you know, post this little message or whatever. I'm like, me? Me. I'm the guy.
I've told you this before. I never would have picked me. But he did. I can't deny that part. And I don't pretend to know why. Maybe it's because I would say yes. I have no idea.
I feel like that's just personal opinion, no proof, obviously, but that's kind of what I think too, is that the people who are, obviously he knew what you were going to say, right? But I think the people who often are just the people who are willing to say yes.
It may be. It could be that simple.
That's probably all that's special about him. Just, they said yes. Everybody, yeah. Well, God, no. I mean,
well,
you know, if I did that, God, I'd have to give up this. And if I would give up that, if then, you know, what would happen as a result of that? I mean, right, the excuse game.
That what you just said there, I think, is the hardest part. It's the easy part is not saying yes to God. It means you're saying no to everything else.
Right.
And that's the hardest thing about it. Did I know that at the time?
So you're saying you had an easier time with just like, I'm okay with saying no to everything else.
The reason was because I had already tried it, and I was
satisfied.
I was destroying myself.
All right. So your perspective was, man, I've had so much of everything else that's led me to ruin that I'm good. Like, I don't need any more of everything else.
I had done life my way, and I was miserable. Oh. Everything the world said would make me happy was a lie. I was miserable. Miserable.
And how many of us, if we're truly willing to peel back those layers and actually sit down and think about it, take a look inside the noggin, How many of us are actually that same way? Actually miserable because we're living a life that's led by us and us alone?
Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there weren't moments where I wasn't laughing, that I wasn't having a good time. But when I got alone with myself and I'm laying there in bed.
And you got to actually sit down with who you really are.
And I got to live with that. It's like, what am I doing? Mm. Who am I? I hated myself.
You know what's amazing, though, is it's not too late for anyone to come to that same conclusion.
Never. That the whole reason that we're having this conversation is, hey, what are you chasing? You know, don't be like the dog chasing the mailman, because one day you're going to catch him. And what are you going to do then? Chase what matters. Find what truly is fulfilling. And we're giving you the shortcut. And I would say this. You've already tried your way. Look where it's led you. Give it a shot. See what happens. Mm. Give God a shot and see what happens. You won't turn back.
Amen. This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. The magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly see it, the roads lead back to you.